researchers getting a unique opportunity to look at the finer details of the craniodental anatomy of the Littlefoot skull, and through that unique opportunity to learn more about Littlefoot's life. A hard life, it appears to have been, and that hard life told by this closer look at her teeth. A hominid lived 3.67 million years ago, perhaps a human ancestor. And there was an international team of scientists that imaged the skull using something called Synchroton X-ray Microcomputed Tomography, which was provided by the UK's National Synchroton Diamond Light Source. Paleoanthropologist from the University of Cambridge, Professor Amélie Boudot, joins us now from the UK. Prof, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just tell us a little bit more about this technique and what it allows scientists to do.
This technique, so it's the synchrotron. So it is a bit like a giant microscope. So we used it so that we could see very tiny details in the fossil. And so just to give you an idea, we speak about few microns. So it's very, very small. And it's only by using that technique that we can get access to this kind of details, because usually with the scanners you can find at a hospital, for example, the quality is not the same. So that's why we transported the specimen from South Africa to the UK to be able to use this big scanner.
And what did you find when you used this big scanner on Littlefoot's skull?
Well, we found many different things. First is really about the teeth, because with this kind of scanner, so we can have very tiny details about the teeth. And more particularly, we were able to see some specific marks on the teeth on the animal. And these marks, they are like, stress markers. So we know that Littlefoot suffered from stress. And more particularly, we'll speak about the biological stress. So it means that potentially at some point, she could not find the food, so she could not, maybe she struggled to find the fruit or something to eat. Or the other option would be that potentially she suffered from specific disease or she was sick at some point. And that happened during her childhood, because it is at that point that the teeth grow. And so that's one of the main results that we got, but we had also many different observations on the cranial anatomy, and more particularly on the vascular system. So we were able to see different vascular canals in the cranium, but also in the mandible, and especially in the mandible, that's the first time. So we are very, very excited about that.
I mean, it's just extraordinary when you're outside of this field of science to think that you can look at teeth that are over 3.5 million years old and take that level of detail out of your examination.
Yes, it's really, I mean, for us, it's incredible to think that we can see very intimate details of Littlefoot, and that this specimen is 3.67 million years old. So it means that with this kind of technology, we can really try to reconstruct the life, in fact, biology and life of some members of our family. And even that old, where we have the opportunity to explore their biology, to try to understand how the bone or organism could just work, and how it was to be an Australopithecus more than 3 million years ago in Africa. So that's very exciting.
And apart from the fact that Littlefoot had a food-stressed life, that there were perhaps two malnutrition events as a child that you were able to read from those stress marks, what else did you find? What other kind of reasonable assumptions were you able to make about her life as a result of using diamond light source?
So there is one structure in the mandible. So I was speaking about the vascular system. So this kind of structures, it's really about the bone as bone biology or anatomy. So it's this kind of structure that is present in the compact bone of the mandible, we know that the fact that we can find them and we say the organization of the bone can be related to the diet. So the kind of information that we could find in the mandible, we plan to use it to also try to reconstruct the diet of Littlefoot. And especially because in this kind of hominids, the hypothesis is that they were feeding on potentially hard food. And this way of, well, this kind of food that they were eating, of course, the biomechanics, so the way they were processing the food, was specific. So it's different from the way we are eating now. So this is the kind of question we would like to address now, because we are able to get some very good quality images with the bone structure. And then now it's really about measuring these different structures and try to relate this to the diet of Littlefoot, and not only about Littlefoot, but about Australopithecus in general, and to try to reconstruct this aspect of the life of our ancestors.
What is known with a reasonable degree of certainty, given that we're talking about more than 3 million years ago, about what the various Australopithecus hominids were eating at the time?
So we think that because they had very different morphology of the teeth as well, we are thinking that they were probably so eating mainly fruits and some leaves and maybe grass or roots, maybe some insects, but no meat really. So that's why that's very interesting to look at their diet at that time, because it's very different from the diet in humans, for example. So even in the earliest humans, the possibility is that they were consuming meat at some point, but regularly, which was not the case in the more older hominins. So that's why if we can understand what they were eating, we can try to reconstruct also the history, human origins and human evolution, because potentially this shift from a vegetarian diet to a diet with more meat would have been quite important in our evolution for many reasons, because we could get access to more high energy food, and that we had more energy for maybe growing a big brain or this kind of thing. So all of this, the diet can be related to different also aspects of our biology. So that's why for us it's so important to really understand what they were eating and what was their diet.
That was absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much to Professor Amélie Boudot, a paleoanthropologist at the University of Cambridge.